You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. I'm really pleased to have Dr. Quentin Henning with me today. He's taking a break from his extremely busy schedule to join me, this time to give us an update on Irving Resources. That's a Canadian-based junior gold exploration company that is focused on low sulfidation epithermal silica-hosted gold deposits in Japan. It has, as major shareholders, companies, big companies like Newmont Mining and Sumitomo Corporation, and management owns around 10% of the company. So with less than 65 million shares outstanding, the number of shares available in the market is quite limited, and I would suggest that in days, at least, when people care about gold mining stocks, this company will, on some good news, could rise, its share price could rise very rapidly, given the tight share float situation. Irving trades in Toronto. IRV is a symbol. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol IRVRF. There's 64.6 million shares outstanding. That's after a recent 2.6 million investment from Sumitomo. Recent share price is around 57 cents in U.S. money, giving it a market cap of a mere $35 million in U.S. funds, which is kind of crazy in my way of thinking, given the fact that I've been following this company for some time. Yes, there have been some slowdowns due to COVID and other issues, but it's just a very promising story, and so I'm really glad to have Quentin here to update us on this. Thank you very much for joining us, Quentin.
Thank you, Jay. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, the last time that you and I talked was back on June 7th. The last time we talked about Irving Resources was on June 7th, and that day, Irving announced that it has purchased its own diamond drills, and it's my understanding they have arrived in Japan. How is that working out?
Yeah, we did. We made the bold move to purchase our own drills and really take charge of our own destiny in many ways. So we've got two drills in place now. In fact, they're drilling it at Tokuryu, which is a target up in the hills at the Omu project. This is the project up in Hokkaido. We're trying to get some holes in before winter time. You know, what are we, late September here? We probably got about 2 good months of drilling. We're going to try to get some more holes in to follow up on some good intercepts that we had and announced earlier this year. But the path forward here is starting to become clear because we found drillers. We're finding more drillers. I think we'll have sharp turnaround in our production of drilling and so forth going forward. It's really been a slog through COVID, trying to get people in and out with the visa situation and all. But now things are lightening up. In fact, we heard here recently that Japan is likely going to lift all visa restrictions as far as, you know, the delays in issuing visas and kind of onerous process they had. They're going to lift that here shortly, I believe, by the end of this month. And things should lighten up again dramatically. I plan to go to Japan again for the first time here sometime latter part of this year as well, you know, which would be a great relief to me. I miss Japan dearly, and I love the place, and I certainly love what we're doing over there. So I'm anxious to get back and see everything. But things are improving. We got two drills moving at the moment. We do have plans to keep those drills occupied. Even through the winter month, where once done at Hokuryu, we're going to move them down. At least one of them will drill at Omui, perhaps another. We'll see. We might have another operating at Omu Center to follow up on some results we had there about a little over a year ago. So lots coming. We also have work underway at Yamagano in preparation for drilling. That'll probably be early next year. One of the drills that we purchased will likely find its home in Kyushu, which is a southern island, and that drill will be assigned to drill at Yamagano. So we've kind of set the stage for drilling more aggressively at all our projects, and we're starting to build up the team and crew to do so.
Oh boy, I can't wait because you've had some really exciting developments, even with the limited amount of work that you've done so far. Maybe you just comment briefly on a couple of really attractive drill holes announced on July 7th at Omi mine site, I guess. It was 8.58 meters, grading 7.39 grams per ton gold, and I think that was over an estimated true width of 6 meters, so pretty good number. What can you tell us you learned from those two drill holes that were announced that day?
Yeah, so those two holes, let me recap where they were drilled and what the hole targeting was. Okay, so the two holes that were announced a couple of months ago were actually from Omi mine site. They're in an area where we were targeting a humpy vein extension on the west end, and both of them hit nice broad intercepts of mineralization. So we were very pleased with that. As you said, the first hole hit 7.4 gram gold plus 10 gram silver, about 8.6 meters. The second hole, which crisscrossed it from the opposite direction, hit 9.6 grams per 10 gold, 63 grams silver over 0.7 meters, but it was within that was followed by a second intercept of 13.75 gram per ton gold, 23.1 gram silver over 1.1 meters, and then a third intercept, yet another intercept of 12.5 gram per ton gold, 8.34 gram per ton silver over 1 meter. So in all, both holes hit the target. They're showing there's very high grade vein in the west part of the Humpy area, and that gives us a great deal of comfort that we have a lot more vein to chase there. I think we're going to see that thing expand dramatically. Now, we did not get the third hole drilled, which was going to target the deeper part of that system. If you recall earlier this year, I talked about the concept that, well, because we hit sinter way down in the subsurface below the areas that we've drilled, it's clearly a secondary system that's earlier than the one that we've been drilling at surface. And this lower system is a main part of our target coming up. We were planning on drilling holes 3 and 4 last spring, but what happened was we got COVID across our camp and basically had to shut down operations around mid-March, I believe it was. So we were out for about 5 or 6 weeks. Holidays came around in early May in Japan. They have what they call Golden Week. And because it was also mud season, we simply did not get the holes drilled. And we focused our time and effort into getting the new drills into Japan and making our whole program turn around here. So we have not drilled that deeper target yet, but that is going to be a main focus for us winter and spring drill program. After we're done at Hokuriya, we're going to move drills down to Omi, and we will target that area.
Yeah, I know when you first talked about it on the show, you called it a game changer. Maybe take a quick minute just to explain why it's so significant potentially.
Certainly. Look, everything we've drilled to date at Omi has been up in the more shallow level. We'll call it within, say, 200 or 300 meters of surface. And we've hit some very high-grade veins, just like the ones I listed earlier. But we found the sinter. What does that mean? So one of our holes last year, as we were drilling it, we got into these intervals of a few meters each of silica sinter, which is hot spring material. So it's basically, you can think of it as the material that's laid down by hot waters as they come out of ground into pools and lakes. And they tell you that there's a system below. Okay, so what this sinter package that we found is basically a buried sinter field that predates the shallow level system, right? So one of the more interesting things about that sinter system was some of those sinters had very high gold. In fact, there was one bed in there in particular that ran about 3 grams gold, which for a sinter is quite unusual. You usually don't see the gold elevated in that part of the system. It's usually meters below, the veins below. So we want to target what we think is the structural feeder for that lower sinter system. It is down a ways. Okay, it's probably down there about 300 meters and change. It's before we get to the top of it. But we do have a pretty concrete idea of where it is. We think it's below the humpy area. And we want to poke a few holes down there and test it. The reason being is this thing could be a game changer, like I've said. It could be akin to like Fruta del Norte in Ecuador. It's a blind system that had a buried sinter over the top of it and had a very high-grade feeder underneath. So we do think there's a lot of similarities between those two. We're quite anxious to get a hole down and test that regime. These new drills have plenty of capacity to do so. We've got a good drill crew in place as well now, so we should be able to test that coming up after we're done drilling the holes at Hokuriya.
All right. Are there drill holes, assays awaited for drill holes yet that we can look forward to?
We've been shipping samples. We've been drilling at Hokuriya. The first rig started about, I think, a month and a half ago, something like, and some of those samples hit the lab in Vancouver within the past few weeks. And then the second rig just started up here recently, and it'll be generating samples. So there are some assays in the queue. Don't know exactly when those are going to come through. I really hope this year would bring faster turnaround in the laboratory, analytic field. But unfortunately, it's not proven the case. I do know they're at the lab, the first assays from the first hole at Hokuriya. But we got to be patient and wait. And I'm sure as soon as they're ready, I'm sure we'll have some numbers to put out for people. There were quite a few veins and stuff in that hole. So we're optimistic we'll see some numbers.
For investors not familiar with this unique economic model, could you just take maybe a minute and explain that to people? Because I think it's really a very essential part of this story.
Certainly. Look, Japan has a huge smelting industry. They make base metals, okay, so copper, zinc, lead, and even other metals. And to do so, they put concentrates of those base metals into furnaces, but they need silica flux. Silica is basically quartz, okay, and they need silica to help soak up impurities out of the furnace while they're cooking everything. They also need it to insulate and keep the heat in. It has some properties that make it a very good medium for smelting. Now, these rocks that we're drilling, these high-grade veins, are silica-rich. They're basically quartz veins with gold and silver. So in Japan, the way they treat gold ores is they take these and they put them into the furnace alongside the copper concentrates or zinc concentrates, and they literally roast everything together. And that what that does is it releases the gold and silver to be collected alongside the base metals, and then they're recovered through electrolytic processes at the end of the base metal refining. So it effectively is a totally different way of treating gold ores. And what we are looking for is really a sinter mine. Now, if you think about it, we're trying to find silica-rich deposits that we can sell market to smelters around Japan. And they pay very handsomely for the gold and silver credit. So silica flux on its own, it's about $30 a ton. But when you throw in the gold and the silver, which they typically pay at 90% or greater, you get an added kick there. So we're really a silica flux
company.
Operate. Think of it that way. Yeah.
Very interesting. All right. Very good. Well, I just, Sumitomo just came in with an investment, 2.6 million Canadian money at $1.23. And of course, Newmont has been there. They've recently put in some money. Maybe very quickly, a $35 million market cap, I think I said something like that right now in U.S. money. What would a Sumitomo, a giant like that company, or Newmont see in your little baby company?
Yeah, look, Newmont fully understands the assets we have. They understand the very high quality of the ones in Hokkaido as well as Yamagano down in Kyushu. Yamagano is the nearest project to Hishikari, which is the most famous gold mine in Japan. It has a lot of similarities. So Newmont sees a huge value in the assets we have, and they have continued to top up and helped us fund this for about, I think, 5 straight years running now. So, and then Sumitomo, why are they also involved? Well, they are very friendly with Newmont. They've had a long-term relation. But bear in mind that Sumitomo Corporation also has a big hand in the smelter industry. That's their main line of business. Okay, so we you know, they see a value in the product that we might derive from these discoveries, and they want to be involved at that level. So we've got very good partners who fully understand our ambitions and goals. Newmont was actually blown away by this whole smelter flux concept, and that's part of the reason they're very excited about this is they see, you know, that this is an opportunity, this being Japan and these high-grade silica gold veins, as being an opportunity to pursue a whole different line in the gold industry. I mean, it's truly a revolutionary business model for a big company like that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, just in wrapping up, then I guess people should just keep their eyes open for assays and just try to keep up with the story, because I think at some point the markets are going to wake up not only to this little gold mining exploration company, but to a lot of others. And when they do, there may not be a whole lot of time to hop aboard, given the share structure that Irving has.
It is an interesting time, Jay. We got to get through this Jerome Powell interest rate monotonous rise, but we'll see the other side of it, and that's going to be good for all of us.
Well, the money's made by the smart investors when not too many other people are interested, so this might be a good time to start learning about Irving Resources. Thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us again.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, folks, well, don't go away, because when we come back after the break, Bob Moriarty will be with us to hopefully opine on Alistair MacLeod's proclamation that inflation is turning hyper. I sure hope that's not true, but we'll hear what Bob Moriarty has to say when we come back after the break. Don't go away.
Timberline Resources is a mineral exploration and resource development company focused on gold discovery in the world-class mining jurisdiction of Nevada. The company's flagship Eureka project hosts a significant gold resource and drill-indicated upside potential at nearby higher-grade targets. Timberline Resources trades in Canada under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. To learn more about this district-scale asset with exciting discovery potential, please visit www.timberlineresources.co.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.